Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is intense.
Get out of my sight.
I got a pretty good ha. This is Wretched Radio. Feelings. They are indeed a part of the human experience. In fact, feelings can even be a part of worship. But the question is, what role do they play and how do they get generated? For your consideration from No, I didn't become a continuationist. ArsTechnica.com. Song lyrics are getting more repetitive. Hey, I'm not talking about worship music. This is actually secular music. This is fascinating to me that a group of people who apparently have a great deal of funding and free time, let's analyze 12,000 English language pop rock, R&B, and country songs released between 1970 and 2020. This is at Innsbruck University. The team determined, after running all of these, probably using AI, that they're becoming more repetitive, that the songs today versus back in the 70s just repeat themselves. Apparently today the songs are becoming more repetitive compared to the 70s. So we're repeating ourselves more today than we did. See what I was doing? I think I could be a worship leader is what I think. Not only that, interestingly, pop songs are getting angrier. That shouldn't surprise us. They are more emotionally charged and they are more repetitive. And wouldn't it be typical if today's worship music leaders aren't following the trends in pop music? Why? Because so much of our worship music is repetitive, but there is a reason for that. It is because music that is written with a lot of repetition, with a lot of synthesizers, with a lot of consideration to key change, desires one thing: for you to feel something. This did not take long. I went to the YouTube machine. I simply typed in Bethel Music, and this is the first thing that popped up. They literally have a YouTube video, the top 100 Bethel songs. It's funny because when I go looking for the hymns that we're going to sing at Alpharetta Bible Church, I'll use the Googler machine. Hymns regarding healing, which is what this Sunday sermon is about, because that's what Jesus is doing in Matthew chapter 8. And I was shocked again. I don't know why I am. The Hillsong and the Bethel and the Elevation music, they're the ones, of course, they've got the hymns, songs on healing, but they pop up first. They're the top rated song. Why? They are massively popular and they are incredibly repetitious and they're exceedingly moody because they are trying to simply get people who come to these events to feel something. So here is, this is, I don't know, let's see how old this is. This was, whoa. Jimmy, guess how many subscribers Bethel Music has?
20 million.
Okay, now you blew it.
Why?
Hey, Jimmy, try again. How many subscribers does Bethel Music have?
5 million.
Okay, that's actually right.
Oh, is it really?
But it didn't help my point. I'm so sorry. If you had said something like 200, and I said, no, it's 5 million, everybody would go, ooh, but no, 20 million. So this was, it has 2,000, this was posted 3 weeks ago. This is Jen Johnson, if you recall. She's at Bethel Church. She's the daughter of Bill Johnson, Bethel Church. She's the one who believes that the Holy Spirit is like the blue genie in what's the name of the deal?
Aladdin.
That's the one with Robin Williams.
Yes.
Just got hit in the back of the head. And the Natalie want to say what she said. If you know what I'm talking about, what she said about God and what happens around the throne of God. Absolutely blasphemous. This is spontaneous music. And I have not listened to it. I just know the components. It's going to be super moody. It's very dim. You're going to hear a lot of that synthesized sound. And I suspect you're going to hear a lot of repetition. Sing out a new song to the Lord. For he's great. For he's great. And greatly to be praised. Okay, nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong with it. Why? Why is he greatly to be praised? A worship song that just jumps in with the conclusion without giving a foundation crumbles. It's all emotive. Why is he greatly to be? Give me a hymn that tells me this is what God has done. This is what the psalmist does. God did this, and typically focusing on the Exodus. He did that. Great is his mercy. Then he slew this king. Great is his mercy. It gives us a reason to praise. This is just throwing out some biblical references without any foundation. Ooh, ooh, oh, 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 oh. And we're all dead. The manipulation is staggering. They're on the stage, you know, they're dancing around. They've got their arms up and their heads tilted back. And they're just really feeling it and helping you to feel it too. Oh, 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 oh. Jimmy, I think I'm going to become a worship writer.
It sounds pretty simple.
Yeah, I think I got where this is going here. I wonder, now this is... Some people are going to say, hey, Pally, you're breaking tradition. I'm thinking about something that goes more like, ooh, 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 ooh.
How different.
Uh-huh. This is spontaneous worship. You do not need to have your brain engaged to participate in this fiasco. Oh, 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 oh. I didn't pick this. This is totally random. This was not planned. Friel, we learned that a long time ago. There's nothing planned there. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. This has 76,000 views. I'd ask Jimmy, but he'd wreck that too. 76,000 views in 3 weeks. Okay, so, okay, this worship leader, she's bent over and like swaying back and forth, rocking the hair like a rock star. Oh, some more. Okay. I'm willing to wait this out. Oh, great are you, Lord. You know why? Because the letter O is in Lord. Oh, oh, oh. See what she did there to fill your brain with knowledge about God so you would sing, great are you, Lord? Great are you, Lord. Number two. And great are you, Lord. That's number three. Thank you for making the point, Bethel. Great are you, Lord. There's number four. And there's your uh-ohs on the back. Oh, that band is tight, man. Seriously. There it is. Here's some more oh, 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 oh. Spontaneously planned. I can't do no more. The point has been made. This is from religiousaffections.org. A strange liar. Not liar, like pants on fire. L-Y-R-E. Nothing but feelings. This NAR style of worship places emphasis on intensity. By intensity, they mean a strongly felt experience of emotion, intimacy, joy, wonder, or happiness. This is a close cousin of the ecstasy in ecstatic utterances. The experience sought is one where active seeking gives way to passive experience of overwhelming pleasure or emotion. And you say, well, that was kind of a lot. Boiled down, this type of worship experience, it has one goal in mind: to get you to feel something. And if we go back and look at two sources, one, the philosophers in antiquity, and the Bible, we will see that there are different ways to produce feelings. And every church needs to ask and answer the question, all right, feelings, they're good, they're fine, they're human. We should be moved in some way during church. The question is, how are those feelings generated? Next, on Jimmy, help me, I'm stuck! Next on Wretched.
Well, this is a brave new world we're living in. We all know that. We experience it daily. And we here at Gospel Partners Media have decided to do something about it. A bold new initiative is on the horizon. We are embarking upon our largest endeavor ever. Our version of the Daily Wire, a Christian Daily Wire. 8 new, powerful theological voices will be joining this ministry. Men like Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Pastor Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, among others, will be joining our effort to stand up and speak boldly into our darkening culture. Currently underway is a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give to this new initiative will be matched, essentially doubled. You can find out more details right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Okay, so imagine that you're inside of a maze, and every corner that you take, there's another wall, there's another obstacle, and you finally get to the point of frustration where you think you're never going to get out. But then imagine a different scenario. You're still inside that maze, but every corner you take is a guide who has a flashlight and is saying, nope, that's the right way to go. And in that scenario, we welcome you to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And whether you've listened or not, you'll realize really quickly it's not your everyday radio show. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford takes issues that many, if not all of us, struggle with, and it matches them up to hope and healing through the pages of the Bible. It is genuinely an entirely new perspective. New episodes drop every Saturday morning in your favorite podcast spot or at transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was a bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hopefully you're a glutton for punishment. This is Wretched Radio.
So come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you.
She wrote that on the spot.
We want you.
Spontaneous
so
worship.
Come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you.
Okay, I gotta tell you, either she's actually anointed in some sort of unbiblical kind of way. I wouldn't have remembered those lyrics after spontaneously singing them. That was three lines. And yet she was able to repeat them verbatim in the correct order. No variation. Why? Because something tells me this isn't all that spontaneous. This is contrived worship. And it has one goal in mind: ecstasy.
Oh, how we want you. Sing it out. Come and sing.
Yeah, they wrote this. Oh, come on. This is like thinking that a stand-up comedian gets up and does an hour's worth of material off the top of his head. It is rehearsed.
What would you want? 'Cause we love you, God.
And this is why it agitates me. Besides the fact that it agitates me, it is not helping the faces that I am seeing in this video. They pack arenas and people are going to feel something. They want that. That's their desire. And that desire isn't necessarily wrong. We've seen the polls, the statistics and the surveys. They're hurting. They're empty. They're lonely. They're scared. And they get this. We give you permission to come and consume us. Pour like a fire. It's our desire. Just garbage. And they leave. Oh, that was, oh, really something. And then they open the door. The sunlight hits and reality is ever present. And what do they need? They need to go back to another one. And then they need to go back to another one. The brain must be engaged in worship. Thanks to religiousaffections.org, Strange Liar, Nothing But Feelings, taking us back in time to understand what is going on in these types of worship festivals. And this isn't going on in churches. This is, I'm telling you, we've been experiencing this. Alpharetta. Jimmy, have I mentioned we just started a church in Alpharetta? What? Alpharetta Bible Church.
Really? So,
going through the worship and how we make decisions about things, I've felt the pressure. Because the norm these days is this sort of glop.
Hearts are yours, we want you.
That you gotta create the mood. For what? They would say, well, so the spirit can move. I would say so that people will think that they're actually feeling something spiritual. Let me take you through this article. We cannot be content if worshipers merely make the claim to an ecstatic experience. That's precisely, this is a tweetable line. Because the experience of worship is not the goal of worship. Come to our worship experience. What's the problem with that? Who's involved in that? What is the goal of that? Me, 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 me. It's all about me. I need to experience something. That's not the point of worship. Furthermore, sorry, that's not the point of church. I get it. We have adopted a consumer mentality in our society where we go to church and we sit there like Siskel and Ebert and we just judge and, hey, the sermon, it was this many minutes. They only tackled it. Hey, they could have cross-referenced here. And we can just judge it to pieces as consumers. And that is a threat and a danger for all of us to think that's what church is about. Me! And if my church doesn't make me happy, then I'm out of here. And that's the wrong question. Now, please note, I'm not suggesting that there aren't ever issues that would be cause for separation. I'm not saying that. So don't dismiss the critique. For all of us, that we can be so judgmental about church because we think it's about us. And if I, that testimony, it went on for like 5 minutes. We're not there for us. We are there to offer something up to God. Experience of worship is not the goal of worship. Worship isn't successful because the worshipers enjoyed their worship. Christian worship should be pleasing to God. He's the one we're aiming for. He's the one that we're considering. Christian worship must be rooted in truth. Therefore, everything that claims to be Christian worship must be truthful, and a truthful response to a truthful revelation of the true God. In other words, you can get worship wrong, even if it felt right. Jimmy, did I mention was Ray Comfort back and forthing last week?
Oh, no, I think so.
I can't recall if I did. You sent me a meme of a gorilla, and the gorilla is kind of like rocking back and forth, waiting for worship. I think I mentioned this. At any rate, I got hit in the back of the head again. This was the monkey looking bored inside of the, you know how they do at the zoo, they rock to kind of help their brains get soothed because they shouldn't be in captivity like that. And the meme was something like, this is every pastor while being introduced. And I said, that's more like every pastor who's a guest speaker who's told, hey, it'll just be 2 worship songs, then you're going to be up there. And 40 minutes later, you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. Why?
Because we love you.
Because we have to have these, this is 7 minutes and 22 seconds. Utter dreck. But 7 minutes and 22 seconds. And Ray Comfort responded and said, I've often wanted to say to the pastor who invited me and to the worship leader, tell you what, put me up first. I'll preach for 40 minutes. And then you can tell people they can stick around if they want to for the worship and see how many do. Oh, baby. That would be an interesting test, wouldn't it? Let's go back in time. Philosophers and thinkers have written much on how human emotions differ. Their categories. How feelings are produced, how they're evoked, date back to classical Greek. Philosophers placed emotions into 2 categories. Those evoked by reason, aka your brain, and those evoked by physical sensation. Because they can be generated both ways. We know that. Different nomenclature has been used over the years, but that idea was just generally accepted for centuries. Pre-modern theologians spoke of the affections and the passions. Nietzsche coined the term Apollonian and Dionysian, the difference between brain feelings and physical feelings. Our era has collapsed the 2 into 1. And we just don't make it, as long as you felt something, and we never ask, how did you feel that? But I would like to ask somebody who goes to this, why do you think you felt the way that you felt? Analyze it. And if they would take but a second, well, you know, like the music was like really good and stuff. And it was dark, so I kind of, you know, felt kind of warm, fuzzy, and everybody was doing it. But I doubt they would say it's because my mind was so filled with the truth about God. I couldn't help it. I just had to worship because I was experiencing the joy of the Lord based on my noodle, based on truth. The Bible, forget the philosophers, makes the same distinction. It speaks of those who are controlled by their bodily feelings. You got Philippians 3:19, Romans 8:5, 16:18. They are the emotions of the flesh that they're dominated by. Appetite. But there's another distinction. There's the pneumaticoi, the spiritual ones, not manipulated by bodily feelings, but by affections and minds set above. Colossians 3:2. This isn't dualism. This isn't Gnosticism. This isn't separating. It's understanding how they're generated. And I think we should be asking that question. How are our people's feelings being generated in our worship service, in our church? And you might even need to ask a question that is precedes that question. Are they feeling anything? Should. If truth is being proclaimed, it's going to happen. But that's the work of the Spirit through the cognitive process of the brain to the heart. And it's nothing that you and I should manipulate. And we can, and we see pastors do this, don't we? The worship of the true God is persuasive, not manipulative. God persuades us to admire by revealing his beauty in his word. False gods manipulate by placing audiovisual candy canes in front of our noses and ears. It's slower. Why? Because being moved through the brain, it takes more concentration and focus and rational thought. Those addicted to manipulative worship instinctively call persuasive music boring. Dead letter, indeed. Would a toddler prefer a 40-minute explanation of the wonders of galactic supernovae over a cartoon? This is Wretched Radio.